Matthew chapter 1, I want to read three verses, actually four. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for memories. Thank you for all the good things you've done for us in the past, and family and friends. And but Lord, as we come to your word today, we thank you for the message that you brought through the angels to so many different people at this time of year. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to listen and be attentive. We'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought on two words from our passage, fear not. Fear not. Do you know, the word fear, I checked this out, is found 385 times in the Bible. 385. That's one thing to be afraid of every day with 20 extras left over. Now, it's good to be afraid of some things. It's good to be afraid of heights, fire, poison, chickens, traffic in Toronto. God has given us a sense of fear because it's a protective mechanism for us. And there are things that, you know, that we look at and we say, you know what, I'm not really comfortable doing that because injury could come to me, something bad could happen. When I was younger, heights held no fear for me at all. I didn't care. I was an iron worker before I went to Bible college, and I worked up on the high steel and walking beams, you know, that wide, up 40, 50, 100 feet in the air, no harness, never wore harnesses those days. And I just didn't even think about it. You know, you're young and foolish. Now I find I get a little older and I look at and I think of something that I even get 5 or 6 feet off the ground and I'm not near as confident as I used to be. Fear. You know, there are five times I found in the Gospels that angels visited individuals with a message. One of the first things they said each time was, fear not. Fear not. Why did they say fear not? I think the reason they said fear not was, I don't know about you, but if I had an angelic visitor all just suddenly appeared in front of me and began talking to me, I'd be a little nervous about the whole thing. I'm not going to ask you how many have had an angelic visitor speak to you, because some maybe say you have. But I have never had an angel come in a dream or in a vision or something to speak to me, and I'd be a little nervous about that. But also, it's the circumstances that they were in that caused them to fear. Because these angels came at critical times. They came at times when things were changing dramatically in their lives. This portion of scripture we read in Matthew chapter 1. The angel says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. My first thought is, do not be afraid of doing what's right. Don't be afraid of doing what's right. Often we are confronted with circumstances. And we say, you know, if I just tolerate this, that's fine. But if I make a choice and I draw a line and say, listen, there is right and there's wrong and I'm going to do right, we are afraid of the consequences. You know, first we have to make sure that it's right according to the Bible, that it's not something that we've just kind of made up ourselves. There may be consequences, but let God deal with them. So don't be afraid of doing what's right. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Don't be afraid to do what's right. And normally, in most situations, that's not a big dilemma to decide what's right and what isn't. The second thing, Luke chapter 1, if you want to turn over there. Luke chapter 1, we're going back in time a little bit, before a few months now, before the angel came to Joseph. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 13, the angel said unto him, he's speaking to Zacharias, said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for their prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Fear not. Why? Your prayer is heard. Prayer is something that we probably talk more about than we practice. The second thing I want you to consider, do not be afraid to pray for the impossible. Do not be afraid to pray for the impossible. It seems from this passage of Scripture that Zacharias had even continued to pray in his old age for a child. Praying for the impossible. What problems are facing you today in this Christmas season that are impossible? If it was possible, we'd do it by ourselves, wouldn't it? But we have a God of the impossible. Pray for what your heart desires and ask God either to change your heart or answer your prayer. See, prayer is often us spending enough time with God so our desires become His desires. Our measure of impossible and God's are very different. We look at things and say it's impossible. Keep on praying. Don't let time and circumstances hinder you. Romans 8 verse 15 says, "You've not received the spirit of fear again to bondage, the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Think about this when it comes to prayer. Abba. Abba, the name, is the personal name. Daddy, we can put there in place of Abba. Daddy. Father. Back in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, we find an angel appears to Mary. Angel said unto her, Luke chapter 1, verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Fear not, Mary. Mary probably had more to fear than anybody else in these circumstances of life. A chaste young girl is going to become pregnant. She never known a man. And the rumors and the circumstances, you understand why she went and spent time with her cousin Elizabeth. You understand that? Don't be afraid of God's plan for your life. Don't be afraid of God's plan for your life. You say, "Yeah, that's good. That's good for these young people." No, it's good for us older people too. Because God still has a plan for your life and mine. God's plan for your life does not end at 58 or 62 or 65. God still has a plan. God still has a... See, if God did not have a plan and purpose for your life, you wouldn't be here. You'd be in heaven right now. Don't be afraid. Romans 8, 28, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." God's plan is better, more rewarding, and more profitable than yours. I just think about this. This next thought always astounds me. God's plan proceeds from His love for you and His knowledge of what you're capable of. God's plan proceeds from His love for you and His knowledge of what you're capable of. Christ spoke in Matthew chapter 10, verse 31, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." I take care of all the sparrows. They have food. You're much more valuable. Don't be afraid of God's plan for your life. Luke chapter 2, we find that the angels now come to the shepherds. The angel said to them, "Fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And we can all go on from there and probably quote the rest of the Christmas story. Here are the angels watching their sheep on the hillside outside Bethlehem, and all of a sudden an angel speaks to them, and I'm sure all these shepherds would say, we've never done it that way before. And the angel speaks, and the angel says, as the shepherds look, and they say, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of interruptions in your life. Don't be afraid of interruptions in your life. We have plans and schedules, and you know, even already this Christmas, because of the weather, there's been disruptions in our schedules. Plans have changed. Do you know the snowstorm started yesterday about noon and lasted about 12 hours, so about midnight last night? God did not look down from heaven and say, how'd that happen? Missed that one. Started coming to the East Coast and I just didn't see it. I thought it was going to go off. I thought it was going to hit Europe. God planned the interruption. God planned schedules to be changed. And again, remember, God's plan proceeds from his love for you and his knowledge of what you're capable of, his knowledge of what's going on. Don't be afraid of interruptions in your life. It says, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, Psalm 46. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Don't be afraid of interruptions in your life. One more thought from the end of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, we see that the women come to the tomb. We go ahead 33 or a little bit more years in the life of Christ. A lot's gone on. The last week has been just a tumult of activity. Christ came in a triumphant entrance to the city, and then the crowds turned on him. One of his apostles betrayed him, another denied him. 9 others abandoned him. Only John was left. He died. He paid for all sin, for all men, for all time, there on the cross. With the promise that he would be buried 3 days and 3 nights. It seems the only ones that really believed this were some of the women, and they were a little bit hesitant. They came to the tomb early that morning. The angel answered and said to them, fear unto the women, fear not ye, for I know ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Fear not. We find if we go to that passage of Scripture, in Matthew 28, turn over there with me. I want you to see something there. Verse 1, the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. I find that a little bit humorous there. These guards, the temple guard, was there guarding the tomb. 2 soldiers, strong, dependable, probably fairly young, trained. But they'd never told them about this in their training before. Here we find that the angel descends and all these natural things take place, disaster take place, and the two of them faint dead away. The women are standing there all curious. What's going on? The soldiers fainted. Don't be afraid. My last thought, don't be afraid like the unsaved. Don't be afraid like the unsaved. You know, these temple guards, they weren't Roman soldiers. They were Jewish soldiers, temple guards. They knew all about the Messiah. They'd been taught up through synagogue. They had not trusted Christ as their Savior. They heard him preach in the temple. They heard all about him in Galilee and Jerusalem, Judea. They'd heard about him traveling and about the crowds and the miracles, but they'd never trusted him as their Savior. Don't be afraid like the unsaved. Don't be afraid of natural disasters. Things are going to happen. Unexpected, unplanned. Don't be afraid of God's message or God's messengers. And follow the example of the two Marys. Look at verse 6 and 7. He is not here. This is the message from the angel. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, notice the next two words, come see the place where the Lord lay. Those two words, come see. Verse 7, and go quickly and tell. Go and tell. Come and see and go and tell. That's our great responsibility as Christians, isn't it? To come, to gather and see what God has done, and then to go and tell. The Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Don't be afraid like the unsaved. It's incredible to watch the news and see the terrors in the hearts of people because of political events and military events and natural disasters around the world, and people are just torn apart like the two soldiers. But it's great to see Christians in those times who calmly and faithfully say, you know, this is a difficult time, but I'm going to serve God. This is a hard time, but I'm going to use this hard time for God's honor and glory. In a moment, we're going to sing one of my favorite Christmas carols. We haven't sung it yet. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. It's 231 in your hymn books. You can look at it if you want. I told you a bit of this story before, but Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is my favorite poet. I've read a lot of things he's written. I hate using the word, but he was a rock star in the 1800s. Everybody knew Longfellow. This Christmas came that in the middle of the Civil War. Just a couple years before this, Longfellow's wife had been cooking in the kitchen and her clothes caught on fire and she died. A couple months before this, Longfellow heard that his son had been shot and wounded in one of the battles of the Civil War. He lived in Boston. The tradition was in Boston, as Christmas Day dawned, that the bells would begin to ring across the city in the churches. And as those bells began to ring, he paused and wrote the words to this hymn, but he didn't write them in the order that they are here, and they've left two stanzas out. It starts out, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet, the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth the cannons thundered in the south and made forlorn the household born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if the cannons rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the household born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Verse 5 then. till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Then his last thought was the fourth stanza. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Longfellow had to come to the understanding that amidst a national tragedy that we cannot begin to imagine, the great Civil War, in the midst of personal tragedy, he had to say, fear not. Fear not. I can trust God. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. Would you stand with me, please? We sing all five stanzas of this. I heard the bells on Christmas Day.